Cyrano de Bergerac by Edmond Rostand. A romantic play set in France in the 1630s. The principal character is Cyrano de Bergerac, a romantic poet and swordsman. The play also features Cyrano's beautiful cousin Roxane, Roxane's lover, Christian de Nouvier, Comte de Guiche, the married suitor of Roxane and Cyrano's enemy, Valvert, de Guiche's friend and another enemy of Cyrano, Labret, Raguenaud, and Lignière, Cyrano's loyal friends. A boisterous crowd eager for entertainment throngs to the theater where a famous production is about to be enacted. Because of a personal grudge, however, Cyrano de Bergerac, a high-spirited young nobleman known everywhere by the jaunty white plumes in his hat and by his large nose, placed an informal ban on the drama's principal actor, Montfleury. A group of Cyrano's companions speculate as they wait for the play to begin. Will Cyrano appear to enforce his ban? Raguenaud, one of these companions, laughs as he describes his wild, swashbuckler friend. And his hat with three plumes is cloaked behind him over his long sword, cocked like a tail of a strutting chanticleer. And to complete this punchinello figure, such a nose. You cannot possibly look at it without crying, "Oh no, impossible, exaggerated." And God help the man who smiles, another adds grimly. Then the young and handsome Christian spies Roxane entering the theater, and is immediately enamored with the beauty. Lignière tells him all about the girl. She is refined, intellectual, a cousin to Cyrano, a rich enough and orphan. However, there is an impediment to any would-be suitor. The Comte de Guiche, a wealthy and influential nobleman, loves Roxane. But de Guiche is also impeded. He is married to someone else. Instead, de Guiche is attempting to arrange a marriage between Roxane and his fellow Comte Valvert, a sad specimen whom de Guiche can count upon to be obliging. Hearing that Roxane, even under pressure, has repeatedly refused Valvert's proposals, Christian expresses his eagerness to challenge the man to a duel. On stage, meanwhile, the curtain rises and Montfleury steps out. Cyrano is nowhere to be seen until suddenly a voice booms out, "Wretch! King of clowns, leave the stage at once!" The startled crowd turns to see Cyrano, defiantly poised above them. Montfleury, frightened at the bristling Cyrano, exits at once. When the manager complains to Cyrano of the losses he will incur, the swordsman tosses a generously filled bag of gold onto the stage. In the aftermath, Cyrano struts and proclaims, "Know that I glory in this nose of mine, for a great nose indicates a great man." When Valvert, who was also in the audience, mocks Cyrano's appearance, the two men draw their swords. "I'll compose a ballad while I fight you," Cyrano warns. And at the end of the last line, thrust home. This he does, and Valvert falls, mortally wounded. Later, Cyrano confesses to another companion, the sympathetic Labret, that he loves Roxane, and admits that the only thing in the world he fears is her ridicule. If he declares his love, she might laugh at his nose. Labret convinces Cyrano to disclose his feelings anyway. Just then Roxane's maid approaches, asking that her mistress might have the pleasure of meeting with Cyrano the following day. Trembling with joy, hope, and disbelief, Cyrano accepts the invitation. The next day, Cyrano appears expectantly at the rendezvous. He soon learns, however, that Roxane has summoned him as a confidant. "I love someone in your regiment," she tells him. "He is proud, noble, brave, beautiful." The man in question, as it turns out, is Christian. Numbed, Cyrano still manages to rally from his broken heart, and, out of honor and as a gesture of his love for Roxane, promises to protect the young cadet. Later, back at the regiment, Christian makes an innocent but obnoxious quip about Cyrano's nose. Cyrano orders the other soldiers from the room, implying that he is about to kill the impetuous Christian for his effrontery. Instead, however, Cyrano, swallowing his outrage, reveals himself as Roxane's cousin and the envoy of her love for Christian. Delighted and flabbergasted, Christian sorrowly admits that, though he is brave with men, with any woman, I am paralyzed, speechless, dumb. "Come, let us both win her together," suggests Cyrano. His plan is to write poetic love verses which Christian will send to the refined Roxane. Cyrano pours all his own ardor into these letters, dictated in Christian's behalf in response to Roxane's delicately penned love notes. After reading several of these stirring epistles, Roxane falls deeply in love with Christian. Soon de Guiche comes to call on Roxane. France is at war with Spain, and he confides that, as commander of Cyrano's and Christian's musketeer unit, he plans to seek revenge on Cyrano for his braggadocio and personal slights. Alarmed, the wily Roxanne flatters and teases the despised officer, then works her plan. Will you order him into danger? He loves that. Leave him here with the cadets while all the regiment goes on to glory. That would torture him. With these words, she hopes not only to protect her cousin Cyrano, but to keep Christian safely at home where they can carry on their romance. Immediately after De Guiche's departure, Cyrano stops by Roxanne's home for a visit. She tells him of her delight with the sensitive love verses she has received, calling Christian a master. Cyrano, blushing with pride at the knowledge that it is his own writing she truly loves, departs to brief Christian on the speeches the cadet will deliver to Roxanne under her balcony when he will finally meet her face to face. But Christian, by this time, confident that he can impress his beloved, refuses Cyrano's help. The two lovers meet at last. Now, tell me things, Roxanne coaxes. Speak to me about love. But Christian stammers awkwardly. I love you, he finally blurts out. I ask for cream, Roxanne sneers, pushing him out the door. You give me milk and water. That displeases me as much as if you had grown ugly. Defeated, Christian again turns to Cyrano for help. In the dark of night, they both return to Roxanne's balcony, and Cyrano, in Christian's voice, offers tender speeches and responses to Roxanne. Roxanne, pleased that her lover has come to his senses, requests that Christian climb the balcony to kiss her. And Cyrano, watching from below, whispers to himself, I have won what I have won. The feast of love, and I am Lazarus, kissing my words upon your lips. Meanwhile, De Guiche learns of Roxanne's deception and immediately orders the cadets to the front. Promising to protect Christian, Cyrano takes his leave with the cadet. Weeks pass. The starving and war-weary cadets press on in battle. Each morning, Cyrano crosses through enemy lines to deliver Christian's letter, which he himself has written to Roxanne. One day, De Guiche, still fuming at his betrayal, arrives in the cadet camp. By signaling with a subtle wave of his scarf, De Guiche will betray the weakly defended musketeers to a Spanish spy, and thus, under the guise of a surprise enemy ambush, wreak his final revenge on Cyrano and Christian. Suddenly, Roxanne also appears to deliver food to the starving soldiers. Turning to Christian, she expresses her true love for him. I went mad with you. Think of the times you have written me. Forgive me for loving you only because you were beautiful. It's yourself I love now, your own self. I can love you if you were less charming, even ugly. Crushed, Christian now realizes that it is not him, but the soul of Cyrano whom Roxanne truly loves. He returns to Cyrano and convinces him to expose the fraud. As the battle breaks out around them, Cyrano approaches Roxanne and inquires, Could you love the writer of these letters if he were ugly, hideous, disfigured, grotesque? Roxanne answers boldly that she could. But just as Cyrano summons up the courage to confess his deception, Christian is carried into camp, mortally wounded by the battle's first volley. Stunned, Cyrano mutters, All gone. I cannot tell her now, ever. With his dying breath, Christian asks Cyrano if Roxanne has learned the truth. Cyrano lies, saying Roxanne indeed knows about the letters, but that she has chosen Christian as her beloved. As Roxanne weeps over her dead suitor, Cyrano mourns both the passing of his brave comrade and his own symbolic death as Roxanne's lover. I am dead, he laments, and my love mourns for me and does not know. Roxanne, her arms still caressing Christian's body, reaches into his coat and finds the last letter Cyrano has written. On it she sees Christian's blood and the stain of a tear shed by Cyrano while he wrote it. This letter she keeps by her bosom from that day on. 15 years have passed. Each week Cyrano visits Roxanne in the convent where she had retired after Christian's death. But one day Cyrano is late for his regular appointment. Eventually word arrives that Cyrano has been ambushed by one of his powerful enemies, but this news is withheld from Roxanne. Though badly wounded, Cyrano finally staggers into the convent to keep his appointment with Roxanne. When she asks in alarm about the bloodstains on his garments, he reassures her, It's nothing, just my old wound. We all have our old wounds, Roxanne replies, motioning to her breast where the letter lies. I carry mine here. Cyrano weakly asks if he can read the tattered letter. Then, in the growing darkness, he recites it word for word. Farewell, Roxanne. Death is near. Suddenly Roxanne realizes the truth. "It was you," she gasps. "And I might have known. Every time I heard you speak my name, the letters, the voice in the dark, and the soul, that was you." "The blood, however, was Christian's," Cyrano says quietly in defense of his fallen comrade. As death draws near, he confesses his love and gratitude. "I would not have known womanhood and its sweetness but for you." Finally, in delirium, he rises and strikes out with his sword at imagined demons. "I recognize you now," he calls out. "My old enemies, lies, compromise, prejudice, cowardice, stupidity. I know I can't defeat you all. I know that in the end you'll overwhelm me, but I'll still fight you as long as there's breath in my body. Yes, you've robbed me of everything. The laurels of glory, the roses of love." Fallen, with Roxanne bending to kiss his forehead, Cyrano closes his eyes and offers up to her his final words of loving rhyme. "When I go to meet God this evening, I'll still have one thing intact, without stain. Something that I'll take with me, unspotted from the world in spite of doom. The honor in my hat, my white plume." This famous play has several major themes, loving devotion and honor being the two most visible motifs. Cyrano's self-sacrificing, all-consuming love for Roxanne dominates the action. Punctuating this near worship and adding comic relief, the Honorable Cyrano both puts down slights against his appearance and vigorously defends others whom he feels have been wronged. In fact, Cyrano possesses all the most desirable romantic traits. He is a masterful poet, philosopher, swordsman, and scientist. Rostand's 1897 drama received immediate acclaim on its release, and since then it has been the source of inspiration for countless movies, plays, and other stories. After almost 100 years, the popularity of Cyrano has never waned.